pray together. Heavenly Father, we get to come at this point and to consider a little bit of your word and to celebrate some of what's been happening in our church over the last 90 days. And we pray that you'd be glorified through this. This really isn't about us, it's about you. And we want to celebrate who you are and what you've done. And we're excited about that today. So we pray that you would use this time as you want to encourage us towards continued growth. And we offer our praise and our worship to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, after this, you're probably going to say, wait a minute, that wasn't a sermon. And that's okay. You can say that. It's going to be different than what it's normally like. And today's really a celebration day. Remember, we had the 10-1-90. And for 10 days, we had prayer guides and we were focused on praying individually and preparing our hearts. And then we had one day on the day of Pentecost where we focused together and prayed together about what God's doing in the church. And then we encouraged the 90 for 90 days that everyone be out somewhere serving within the community, doing something to reach out in the name of Jesus Christ. And that 90 finished during this last week. And as we were looking at it, wow, the Prescott Pines Day and the chance where we have this kind of a service is occurring right after that. Let's use that as a celebration opportunity. So the sermon's really going to be a little different. I'm going to point out a few passages, but I'm going to be interviewing some people throughout this service and telling some stories about ways we've done that, and hopefully this will encourage us to keep doing it more. We really don't want to be 10-1-90. It'd be better to be 10-1-365, where always we're seeking out to reach into our community and to care for people in the name of Jesus Christ. So, you know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 says, "Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." That's Matthew 7:12. It's the golden rule. It's whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. It's not do to others what they did to you. That could have a revenge factor in it. It's really whatever you wish others would do to you, do to them. Treat others as you would wish to be treated. You know, a great illustration of that is Carolyn Holland. Carolyn's a part of our church family, and for years she's loved the ministry of Samaritan's Purse. And Samaritan's Purse, you know, they do like the shoe boxes. We've often done that at Christmas time where they go out to different people in the world. By the way, this year, one of the cap chapels is a girl who received a Samaritan's box, and it impacted her so much, and now she's going to come share at a chapel. She's from another country, coming later this year to share at a chapel about that. But Samaritan's Purse does big things, like cares for people when there's major catastrophes, when there's major disasters. And Carolyn would see these kinds of opportunities, but they were always too far away from where she was at. And then with the Yarnell fire, it was right here. And so she volunteered a day and went out there, and she was shoveling ash. She was working hard out there, but finally being able to do something that God had put in her heart years before. And it was so neat to hear her talk about it because it seemed like it was something God had just been building and putting in her heart for a long period of time. And finally, here was the opportunity. It was like he was preparing her for this day, and just a joy on her face as she was able to go and to do that and to experience that. Your family's in the balcony, Peter, if you're looking for them there. Just helping usher. I'm just ushering today, too. Galatians chapter 5:13 is another verse. Galatians 5:13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's Galatians 5:13-14. And it really talks, you know, when we're saying about amazing grace, the grace that we have and the freedom that we receive as a part of God saving us. And then he says, don't use your freedom for evil. Don't use your freedom for bad. Use your freedom to love people. Use your freedom to serve. And that's a lot what the 90 was about. It was saying, hey, we've been set free by God. Our sins have been forgiven. We've been set free. Now use your freedom to go out and love. Use your freedom to go out and serve. And, you know, Penny Nicholas was a part of an opportunity that we had to do that. And Penny, come on up here with me. I'll even share the podium, or you could hold your notes, whatever you want to do there. Penny, you are a teacher at Washington Traditional School, which is right down the street here from us. How long have you been teaching there?
46 years.
So you started when you were like five, right? And yeah.
Maybe seven.
Seven. You've been teaching kindergarten the whole time, or have you bounced around?
20 years in first grade with Paul Simpson when he had hair. Yeah.
Wow.
He was in my first grade class.
See what happens when you walk in when the teacher's talking? Yeah.
And 26 now in kindergarten.
26 years in kindergarten. And you've really wanted a partnership someday to exist between your school and your church. Talk about that.
Well, it's been a desire of my heart for a long time. This campus and Washington School campus is like a block and a half apart. And it's just the perfect opportunity for reaching out. And finally, it's happened.
Yes. So we connected and talked some about having a service project day down there. How'd the day go?
Well, it was still during summer break, so some of the teachers weren't even back yet to see the email. But some of us were, and our custodian worked so hard and worked all summer and still had so many things left to do that we're going to just have to stay undone because there's not time during the school year. And it was just a tremendous joy. There was over 30 people from about 8 years old to
older
80s.
Than eight.
Yes. Yeah, really. And I told everybody when we started, there is not a glamour job on the list. It's all just slave labor. And everybody jumped in. There was just such an attitude of joy throughout the campus, wherever people were working. I just read off the list, and I said, let me read it again. Tell me who wants to do this. We'll do that. We'll do that. And off they went. And it was just an exciting, exciting time.
Yeah. Yeah. You should have seen with the 30 of us there, she was like, you could tell she was the teacher. And there were 30 kindergartners there, and she was taking control of the room of, okay, here's how we're going to organize this. And got everyone to this
bus.
You did not waste anybody's time. What kind of projects did we accomplish there?
Oh, there was all kinds of stuff. There was a lot of, and our custodian was not prepared for the caliber of people we had. I mean, Steve Schaefer from our staff here, Greg Conrad, who does maintenance out of the camp. Mm-hmm. And so when he saw the quality of people we had, more and more jobs showed up. So, and I was afraid we weren't going to get everything done, but we had everything on our list got done. So we prepped for painting. We painted. There was dusting, taking down blinds and cleaning them. Your pastor took down my blinds, cleaned them, and put them back up. I was so thrilled about that. And he set up my computer, which I really needed. Our staff room, we don't call it the lounge because nobody lounges, but it was in a new location, and everything had just kind of been put in there. And, you know, when it's everybody's job, it's nobody's job. So it probably wasn't going to get done this school year. And a couple gals just lovingly took that on. They cleaned everything, washed everything, organized, put labels on the drawers so we would know where things were, and it just was a blessing. We made journals, copying and cutting and collating, sorting and labeling and repairing books, carrying heavy desks to storage, like Chris said, all the way down and around and underneath, and carrying books and supplies, refinishing classroom chairs. That was my classroom. That was a dream come true. Washing windows inside and out, putting up bulletin boards. It just, it was one full morning, but we got it all done. It was exciting.
And what was the impact upon the employees of Washington Traditional? Did you see people responding to that, either teachers or staff?
Oh, definitely, yeah. The teachers that were there that day were just so impressed. And then others came back, and, you know, they saw the staff room, and who did this? Well, let me tell you. And our principal was at a meeting that day. He wasn't able to come there, but I walked him through and showed him everything that had been done. He was just so... It was just very gratifying to see.
Yeah. And, you know, one of our deacons that was there that day, he mentioned to me, wow, we should make this an annual thing. We should be doing this regularly. And with some more prep, we could even have more people
Definitely.
There. So I know there was an excitement from our side. If someone still wanted to serve, could they? Are you out of things to do there if someone wanted to jump in and help
there's
out?
There's nothing or, left. No, just kidding. A lot of what teachers do is unskilled slave labor, but it has to be done, so they do it. In kindergarten, we get lots of moms and volunteers that like to help, but the older grade kids, those teachers are doing a lot more of their own stuff. There's projects you could take home. You could come in just one time, let us know you got 2 hours, just come on over and we'll put you to work if you want to come regularly. It was kind of cool the day that we did the work day. Some people wanted to stay just a little bit longer to finish the thing that they were on. I felt like Cinderella because I had to leave and they were staying and finishing. And some people came back later and did more. Some people took projects home to do at home and bring back. And two or three people said they want to just come and volunteer regularly because they really got the bug. Yeah.
That's great. Well, thank you for coordinating this, helping this put together. I know it was a lot of work for you, but something that allowed a lot of ministry and a lot of us to be able to reach out. So thank you for being a part of that.
It was so exciting, those of you that were there, just the feeling of joy and the willingness to just pitch in and just do whatever needed to be done. So we figure we did at least a week's worth of custodian of what he would have done and at least a week's worth of what teachers would have done. So it was a real blessing.
That's great. Thank you, Penny. Thank you for sharing with us this morning. Let's show our appreciation to Penny. You know, another passage is James chapter 2. Verse 14, and it says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have works? In other words, what good does it do if you say, I've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but it doesn't change your life at all, but it doesn't change how you impact others? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving him the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And he gives this picture of what happens when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, is that a key part of that is that your life changes and your heart changes and you see someone in need and you want to meet that need. And that's a key part of what the 90 was about, was us in the name of Jesus Christ saying our lives have been transformed, and so we want to reach out and we want to care for others around us. And I'd like to have Dave Ballard come up here. Dave and Connie have served in so many of our ministries for so many years. Connie's in Alaska enjoying salmon and kids. Yeah, Dave was telling me the other day, he told her, Pastor Chris asked me to do this and you really owe me one. Dave is... Dave's the type of person you would love to be serving behind the scenes all the time and never be up here, right? So you are sacrificing on behalf of the church just to be up here. You probably think this is more of a sacrifice than all the other work you do to do this. You need to hold that up so people can hear you. There you go. How long have you guys, you and your wife, been serving and helping people at this church?
Well, the best that I've been able to find out is that we started helping with the food cupboard about 17, 18 years ago.
Okay.
And we started with Master's Closet somewhere around 12 to 14 years ago.
Okay.
And of course, when I say we, it was Connie.
Yeah.
And I filled in when I could.
Yeah, you were working and
I was working in Baghdad.
Yeah.
At the mine.
So what kind of ministries are you guys regularly involved in here at the church?
Well, Connie's involved in the ladies' recovery group.
Okay, so that meets Monday nights.
On Monday nights. Monday and Thursdays, we have the Master's Closet open.
Okay, and that's across the street over in Union Station. Master's Closet has clothes available for people.
They have clothing. We have cookies and coffee that we supply.
Yeah.
And fellowship.
Uh-huh.
We try and speak with the guys whenever we can.
Yep.
And try and we try and bring up the subject of Christ whenever we get a chance to.
Yes.
Sometimes gets a little hectic in there.
Yes. Okay, so there's the clothes closet. There's the women's recovery.
Yes. We, kind of behind the scenes, we pick up the bread on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
And the donuts on Monday mornings.
Yes.
And take them to the soup kitchen.
So helping out with soup kitchen and getting some of that food there for that.
I know there are other ministries that we're involved in, but it's my mind is not working well enough right now.
That's okay. You're doing great. What in particular did you do to help the church serve in the recent fire? How were you guys helping to coordinate and make that happen?
Well, of course, the Lord laid it on Connie's heart to be a facilitator.
Yes.
And she has tried to coordinate through our church. And the statement that she said was, we want to see God get the glory for all of the outreach that we as Christians do. And so that's been the focus of what we've been doing.
Yeah.
Is trying to see that all of the things that happen there, you see the hand of God working in it.
Yeah.
And so we've been trying as much as we could to give God the glory for it.
Yep.
Whether it be that it's connected to our church or whatever ministry it is that it's connected to.
Yeah.
We try and see to it that they get the word that this is the hand of God.
Yeah. And what was happening throughout that period of time is Connie and I were communicating. She'd be either emailing or calling Saturday night. And it was sort of, what's next? What's needed next? And she was the behind-the-scenes person feeding me that information of, okay,
right.
Now we need school supplies. Now we need clothes. Now we need this. And so she was giving me that information Saturday night. Sometimes we'd meet in the foyer Sunday morning as she was coming into church. And, okay, Chris, here's what we need next. And I'd announce it, and the people of God were responding incredibly, bringing stuff in, tools, school supplies, clothes. Now, that doesn't just magically get to Yarnell. What was happening once it came in with people? How was that happening?
When the things came in, we would take them to the master's closet over at Union Station and organize them, sort them. And then, like with the school supplies, we made trips down to deliver them directly to the school in Yarnell. And then the tools... United Way has a distribution site over behind Big Lots, and they have been taking things and setting them back into their warehouse. The people from Yarnell will come and say, I need this. And they will let them choose things that they need for their particular projects. And so those things have been put in the warehouse for that purpose.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of large items that they have allowed. They allowed the people to come into their collection site. Like, say, for instance, there's a dining room set. They come into the collection site and they say, we're going to need that, but we don't have a house yet. Our house is gone. We have to wait till we build it. So they will put their name on that and set it aside. They've got another warehouse, and they'll set that aside until they can use it.
Hmm.
And so they'll keep that for up to a year.
Yeah. Now, obviously there's an impact on others, but why do you do this? Is it a sacrifice to you and you feel like you're sacrificing, but you want to do that to impact others? Do you have an impact that you receive as you serve?
It is not. I don't feel that it's a sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I receive so much of a blessing. You can't outgive God. Anything that you give, your service, your time, anything you give Him, you will receive far more in return.
Yeah.
The blessings and the joy of being able to be a servant of God is beyond anything that anything that you could physically ever do.
Yeah. And a lot of these you're talking about are ongoing ministries. If you've never seen the clothes closet in action, let us know and we'll tell you the times and help you see that. Soup kitchen that you talked about, we could tell you the times and you could see that in action. Another you didn't mention that you guys are involved in is the Thanksgiving boxes every year. A number of you have probably helped with that, but that week we assemble the Thanksgiving boxes. Interestingly, as we were talking this week, you were saying the Thanksgiving project is really two different projects.
Yeah.
One is the bringing the food and collecting that. There's something that happens for a month before that. What's that?
We start November 1st. Doing sign-ups, and we're open from Monday through Friday, and we sign up anybody that comes in that is in our area.
Yes.
And the amount of time spent with that is massive.
Yeah.
There is a lot of effort put into getting people signed up for the Thanksgiving boxes.
Mm.
Then, the week of Thanksgiving, we put, a lot of you have seen the Thanksgiving boxes that were put together. And that That whole process is a very, very large amount of manpower that's used.
Yep.
And the blessings from it are so great.
Yeah.
It is such a blessing. You have people that come in to sign up. I had a lady last year that came in and she said, my husband and I both lost our jobs.
Yeah.
She said, we've lost our home. We're homeless. And she said, I don't know what we're going to do.
Hmm.
And I got an opportunity to pray with her.
Yeah.
And it was such a blessing to me to be able to help somebody who was so much in need. And, you know, the blessing I was telling you about, you can't match that.
Yeah.
No amount of service that you do is going to equal the blessing you get in return.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Dave. We appreciate your and your wife's service here for decades and everything you've done.
One more thing. Connie wanted... Oh, I guess I should have been talking into
That's
it.
Okay, yeah.
Connie wanted me to mention that there are two things with Yarnell. One of the other churches brought to our attention, they want to adopt a family. Take a family personally and adopt them. Hmm. And all the way through the end of the holidays, if people are interested in doing that, that's something that we may be able to work out.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, all of the area over there that have lost all of the natural plants.
Yeah.
Connie thought of the idea of going and planting. You know, if people have extra plants and things, they would like to go over and actually go over and physically plant things in their yards where they've lost everything.
Yeah. Good. There's some good ideas still to come. Great. Yes. Thank you, Dave. We appreciate you very much. One other passage to think about is in Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, a lawyer stands up. And so I always like this from the very beginning because you have a lawyer involved. And he decides to put Jesus to the test. And he says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And the lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus responds, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." So the lawyer gives this answer of loving God and loving your neighbor. And Jesus says, "Yes, you understand the law. You get it right. You're a good student of it. You understand it." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "But who's my neighbor?" And you can see the idea of let's try to limit the scope of neighbor, of who we can serve. And so Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, and he poured on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I'll repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." And so you have this man who's injured on the road. And if you were living at that period of time, you know that the priest and Levite are going to be the hero of the story. You'd be anticipating that. They're the good guys in society. And yet they walk by on the side because they're busy, they're preoccupied, they have other things to do. And then this Samaritan, who you'd certainly expect him to be on the wrong side of the story. That's the group you don't want to associate with, you do nothing with. And he comes by, and the Samaritan ends up being the hero. Because even though he didn't even know this person, he takes care of him and he stays with him and he makes sure his needs are met and he provides more and more finances for further and further care.
You know, we had an opportunity that was given to us after the Yarnell fire where our camp that we're associated with up at Prescott Pines had these two cabins they weren't using. And they identified that, you know what, if somehow we can get these cabins ready, we're willing to let someone live there for a decent period of time, for a year, rent-free. And the stuff that's in there, they could even take with them when they're gone, but they're empty now and they're dirty and they need a lot of work. And some people in our church said, we'll take on that project. And it was a sacrifice from the beginning because that wasn't in the time agenda. And it wasn't something where, okay, over the next 3 months we could get these ready. There's people without housing today. And so they sacrificed time and people started bringing items that they were willing to give, knowing that those aren't coming back. It's not you could borrow my couch for a while. It's if you loan the couch, it's going with that person when they ultimately move out. And so they went and they took everything out there and they got there. And when they got out there, they realized this place is filthy and it's not going to be a good place to live unless it's thoroughly cleaned. And so where they thought they were just driving stuff out to drop it off and get it set up, they said, okay, let's leave everything outside and let's clean the place first because we want this to be a good place for somebody. And they got it all set up. And then they got this response that, you know, Prescott Pines is far enough away from Yarnell that most people that live in Yarnell, they don't want to move to Prescott Pines to live. That's far from their community. They still want to be part of their community. So maybe they would use these cabins instead for a respite place where people could go for half a week or a week just to get away and then get back to their community in Yarnell. And they thought of that. But then they heard of this family that didn't have a place to live and they had young kids. And the place they had rented had burned down and their young kids were struggling with effects of the fire and fear of that. And so there's this couple that was homeless and they needed a place to live. Their name is Joseph and Mary. Isn't that like perfect? Joseph and Mary needed a place to live. And they were connected, maybe through Samaritan's Purse, maybe another way, with this Prescott Pines house. And I'm told when they walked in, tears started to flow down their cheeks. They started to cry, overwhelmed at this opportunity that had been handed to them. And what's interesting is what our church did as part of the 90 is said, you know what, we're going to love a family that we don't even know yet. We have no face. We have no relationship with them. We have no clue who they are. There's a possibility it won't even work out where someone lives there, but we're going to go and we're going to sacrifice and we're going to get this place ready. And a group of volunteers from the church did that for some faces that they hadn't even met yet and didn't even know who they were. And it ended up being a Joseph and a Mary and their young children that are now living there because a group of people said, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to reach out and love you. Because we've been set free from sin and we want to use our freedom to love and to serve. Because we don't want to have our faith be just something we talk about. We want it to result in action. And it's impacted in a very real way a family's life. That's a big part of what the 90 is about, that we want to be exactly who God created us to be. And the 90 continues on. As I said before, it'd be better to call it 71365. And that we continue to look for opportunities of where can we serve? Where can we reach outside the doors? Where can we, in the name of Jesus Christ, say, here's a cup of water. Here's a coat that you need. Here's a sleeping bag. Here's something that you need right now. And because I've been transformed by the love of God, I want to reach out to make that happen in your life. It's so incredible here, the things, and there's so many more examples within the church. We really could have a line of people sharing about different things that they've done. I heard this week of a fellowship group that prepared a meal for a place that needed a meal prepared, and they all worked together to get that meal there. And just story after story of people doing something in the name of Jesus Christ. It's been an incredible opportunity to be part of, and it's a good job, church. Way to go. And now we want to keep going. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to serve in your name. that you have transformed us. And because you've transformed us, that we're able to overflow into the lives of others. And we pray, Father, that you would keep giving those opportunities. May we be sensitive to them. May we see them. May we respond to them. Thank you, God. We're grateful for what you've done and what you're going to continue to do. We love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.